When we started writing our thoughts down on paper, it opened up endless possibilities. Ideas could grow beyond the borders of the mind, and it changed the world. Somewhere along the way, we lost touch with paper, distracted by devices made for every purpose except for thinking and focus. On edge, waiting for the next notification. But what if new technology didn't pull us away from paper, but brought us closer to it? Listen. That's not paper. It's the sound of the new Remarkable Paper Pro, rewriting the future. A paper tablet with a true color ink display, gentle reading light, and unheard of tactility. With digital features for taking notes, thinking, and organizing, without any distractions. Paper is about to change the world again. Get your paper tablet at Remarkable.com today.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor with Gregory Copley, the editor and publisher of Defense and Foreign Affairs. Gregory, you recently traveled to Nigeria, and I look at a report that is underlining why this country is critical to the success of the 21st century. In a few more years, by 2050, Nigeria will be the third most populous state in the world after China and India. However, despite the fact that it's rich in natural resources, oil, fossil fuel, natural gas, and arable land, it is not, at this point, matching its peer countries, Indonesia and South Korea, for example. The election next year is said to be critical. This will be the seventh election since democracy in 1999. What are the risks that it takes in this next election, given that it's lagging behind where it could be?
Well, the election in February is going to be a game changer, perhaps the most significant game changer for some time in Nigerian politics, because we will see an end to the highly corrupt and, if you like, malignant regime of President Muhammadu Buhari, because he can't run again for a third term. So we're going to see any one of the three or four major candidates would make significant changes. It's not, by the way, the case that Nigeria became a democratic country in 1999. It had been a democratic country since independence in 1960. There were patches when there were military governments, and they were clearly not democratic, although they were actually provided far greater freedom to most of the people and less corruption than the civilian governments. And that's proven to be the case now. But the situation is that we've got a former military leader, General Buhari, became a civilian elected president 8 years ago. And so he has been, if you like, the case against both civilian and military governors, because he's been so malicious and corrupt. But what we will see, I think, are steps under any of the major candidates going forward to the election, steps to reduce corruption, particularly in the oil and gas sector. Some 90% of the oil revenues of the country have been siphoned off in recent years and not making their way into the state coffers and back to the taxpayer. The interesting thing is that in the early 1980s, South Korea and Nigeria had almost identical GDPs. And today, of course, the South Korean economy is, you know, dramatically larger than Nigeria. Nigeria is fairly stable economically, simply because most of the people operate outside of the state sector, and outside the oil sector, so they just get on with their lives and the like. But the reality is that there's going to have to be a major change if Nigeria is going to cope. Whether it becomes the third most populous country in the world within 10 years, 20 years, whatever, is debatable. I think all population forecasts, particularly those coming out of the United Nations, have proven to be essentially not valid. The likelihood is that, of course, the Chinese population will decline and is already declining. The Indian population is rising. So at best, Nigeria could become the fourth largest population. It's got a fair amount of land, so it's not. It's got and resources. The new governments, from talking to the candidates, will start to look at the exploitation of their agricultural sector and the mineral sectors, apart from oil and gas, to a far greater degree than has ever been done before. And you can see how rapidly that could change the situation. If you look at Ethiopia, which is the next most populous country in Africa after Nigeria, it has been impoverished. It's actually subject to terrible weather changes, particularly because we're now seeing the third iteration of the La Nina weather impact. And yet it is still increasing its agricultural output because it's changed its policies. And what we will see, and I've been talking to the candidates about this, what we will see in Nigeria are several things which will be done to move subsistence farming into the commercial sphere so that farmers can actually benefit from greater productivity and the ability to sell surpluses into the marketplace. And that will require the continued improvement of infrastructure, road and rail in particular. And what we see there is that's where the People's Republic of China's Belt and Road Initiative spending has come into effect. They are improving the road and rail network of Nigeria dramatically. And this is something which could have been done with previous allies such as Britain or the United States or the European Union, but wasn't done.
Gregory Copley, editor and publisher of Defense and Foreign Affairs, anticipating the election winter 2023 in Nigeria, a state for the 21st century to succeed. However, we turn to the question of the 21st century, all of it, all the civilization of the 20th century, vulnerable to information. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.